Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we're talking to our guest, and it's one of the big topics. We finally get around to it.
Yeah, good. We're going to talk about the president talking about
the wall.
Maybe a national emergency to get the wall built. And Steve Nelson covers the White House for the Washington Examiner. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It seems that with every day that the shutdown continues, the talk about national emergency and the cost for building a wall continues. In your humble opinion, how realistic is it?
So it appears increasingly realistic, at least as an off-ramp to end the current shutdown. Of course, on Thursday, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer went over to the White House to have negotiations over Trump's demand for a border wall. Pelosi said she was not going to be supporting a border wall or border barrier, and Trump walked out of the meeting, and it just kind of blew up. He seems to have been trying to build a public case for a wall since then. Of course, went to the border yesterday. He's going to be having a roundtable at the White House again today, but it's unclear without Democratic support in the House how you would pass a wall, which leaves the national emergency declaration as a clear option, which would allow him to use military construction funds to do that. Now, of course, landowners along the border would presumably sue and say,
eminent domain.
It's our land, you can't take it, and it could be a real mess, but it could at least allow for the shutdown to end and perhaps give Trump some sort of path forward on this.
You know, Steve, I mean, you've been in Washington for a while. You're in the neighborhood, and you see what goes on. But, you know, there's a lot of gotcha that gets played. And one of the gotchas that's been around lately is you have, like, Pelosi, Schumer, other people, Barack Obama, others saying, you know, yeah, a wall be a good idea. Now, if it couldn't, they're against it. I mean, they're always – God, the game's got to drive you nuts, Steve.
Well, you know, this of course is one of President Trump's big campaign pledges, and you know, if you're opposing President Trump, you wouldn't want to give him that. There also has been a bit of evolution on some issues under Trump. Of course, you know, he talks tough on immigration, and you know, it's something that's criticized by his opponents, who forget that Obama was described as the deporter in chief, and I believe many of his years he deported more people than Trump has been deporting. So you know, people's memories fade quickly in this town.
Yeah, well, there's no people's memories fade quickly everywhere when it comes to political stories.
Yeah.
This is the day that the shutdown really hits, the first paycheck that people will have missed. We know the White House is gung-ho about getting this wall, and he's not about to open the government until he gets some sort of a compromise on this matter. How many of his Republicans in the Senate and House are starting to fall by the wayside because their constituents are saying, what the hell are you doing?
So right now there's been remarkable Republican unity on this, but whether that holds remains to be seen. As you mentioned, there are 800,000 federal workers who are not going to be paid today. A shocking number of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and 800,000 people is a very large constituency. Of course, they aren't distributed evenly among throughout the country, but certainly they are in some Republicans' districts. And whether the unity holds, it's really unclear. This is going to really increase the pressure for there to be some sort of resolution.
Steve, how much of this, and we're talking to Steve Nelson, you can read him, Washington Examiner. He is a White House reporter. We're talking about the wall, and we will get in just a moment to the emergency declaration of same. But how much of this, this came to me in a budget that's, what, $3 trillion, $4 trillion. How much is, $5 billion? I don't think it's the money. It's just the whole principle of the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly isn't the money. The $5 billion wasn't going to be paying for a complete border wall anyways. It is a pretty symbolic fight. President Trump was seen as caving when he was seen to indicate that he would sign the funding bill without wall funding, giving up his last great chance of doing this. He decided to dig in on this $5 billion figure, and Democrats refused to do it. Wouldn't finance an entire wall. It wouldn't even finance most of a wall. But it's symbolism here, and someone is going to be losing if, you know, if one side walks away, you know, the wall is partially built or the wall isn't built at all under this bill. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, and clearly that's what's motivating this continued fight.
We've talked so much about it in recent days, and there's been a lot of discussion, and we know this was his primary campaign pledge, and it's basically one of the tenets of that he stood on to get elected president. But how much of it do you also think, if any, Steve, that this is kind of just kind of a smokescreen to stop a lot of the talk about the legal troubles he's facing?
I don't know that I'd want to speculate on that. The Mueller investigation is ongoing. Every time, I've looked back at my old interviews on the radio or on TV, and every time, you're asked to guess when the Mueller probe is ending, your guess is going to be
nobody
wrong.
Knows.
Exactly.
It just seems to keep going. So I don't know that he necessarily is thinking directly about that. Some people like to speculate, but I just don't know. And I don't know that that is actually going to be ending soon, as people were expecting.
Hey, Steve, okay, let's go to the national emergency. There's an emergency on the border. We've got to do something about it, blah, blah, blah. Mechanically, how do you do it? Do you just sign an executive order? What determines what's a national emergency? Seems to me there's a lot of squishiness in this thing.
Yeah, there is. There was a list compiled by the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU that put together all of the various so-called national emergencies. Most of them aren't really national emergencies in the common sense. They're dealing with basically sanctions in a lot of cases. There was a recent one regarding Burundi that was one of the most recent. Burundi doesn't really have much of a national security national emergency.
No.
There's swine flu a few years back. It basically is a way to free up money. And in this case, the presumed target would be to free up money for the military construction funds, using that for the wall. Apparently Trump could do it, but of course, this could be delayed
in court.
And the property cases could go on for a decade, and President Trump could get his wall after he's dead if he does this national emergency that's held up in court.
Well, Steve, I think that's the big one. Things I'm reading of late is a lot of it is not, forget about the political feasibility of it all. But, this eminent domain thing is a hot issue to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of property owners who did not want a fence to be built on their property. And so they fought from the early 2000s until today, really. They fought very long court battles over this. They aren't resolved quickly. There was an article I was reading from last year that said that there were, 300 cases regarding property rights along the border for fencing. Yeah. About 90 of the 300 were still pending after a decade. So this could be a real mess. And apparently, if anyone has standing to sue over this national emergency declaration for the wall, it would be the people who own the property that the wall would be going across. So this could really drag on. And that, of course, is one of the reasons why it wouldn't be a first choice. But even if it is held up in court, that presumably could allow for the government to reopen while it does work its way through the court system.
Well, whether you're in favor of the wall or in favor of the president or not, let's hope that happens so that people can get back to work.
Yeah. Well, and of course, eminent domain is very near and dear to us because of the Kelo decision. So, we've lived through that here. And that took a long time to straighten out. So, Steve, you're right. The clock could be running for quite a while. Hey, Steve, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the insight.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right.
You can get him at WashingtonExaminer.com. WashingtonExaminer.com.
He's pretty fair and balanced.
I think he's very good.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's written on some other things if you go to their website.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.